My name is Chaya Rapp, and this is Divrei Hayomim Aleph, Perek Yates. This Perek and the next one, Yates and Chaf, deal with wars that David fought with the Ammonim, the Ammonites. The parallel Prakim in Shmuel Beis are Prakim Yud and Yud Aleph. Our Perek opens with David sending messengers to Hanan, the son of Nahash, who had been the king of Ammon. Nahash dies, and David sends messengers to Nahash's son Hanan to offer condolences. David says in Pasuk Beis, "Ese chesed im Hanan ben Nahash, ki asa aviv imi chesed." I will show kindness to Hanan the son of Nahash because of this kindness his father showed me. Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf Beis gives some of the background to this story. While David was on the run from Shaul, he asked the king of Moab to protect his family. Vayomer el Moav, Yitzei na aviv imi yitzchem, ad asher eda mayasel Elokim. Let my father and my mother please come forth and be with you until I know what Hashem will do for me. The pasuk there continues, Vayenchem es penei melech Moav, vayishvu imo kol yimei hayos David b'metuda. And he brought them before the king of Moav, and they stayed with him as long as David was in the stronghold. What happened next? In Tehillim Perek Samach, David describes Moab as Sir Rachtzi, the pot of my washing, like a wash basin. On a surface level, this means that David will defeat Moab. The Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, however, explains the significance of Moab being compared to a pot and fills in some of the details of this story. The Medrash there says, Moav Sir Rachatzi, Moav is like the pot of my washing. Lefisha b'sha'asha barach David mipnei Shaul, hulich avivi imo el melech Moav, ki haya yarei mipnei Shaul. Because when David ran away from Shaul, he brought his parents to the king of Moav because he feared for their lives from Shaul. Vaya botech b'hem lefisha haya meiras ha-Moaviyah. And he trusted the Moavites because he himself was descended from Rus the Moavite. Moav was family. The psukim continue there, Vayenchem es penei melech Moav, vayishvu imo kol yimei hayos David b'metuda. He brought them to the king of Moav, and they stayed there as long as David was in the stronghold. But what happened next? Olekach kira'o sir, and therefore they are called a pot. Maha basar mes'akel basir, kach nisaklu sham. Just like meat is, it's cooked, it's consumed in a pot, so too they were consumed there. Sheharagam melech Moav, v'nomen v'lo nimlat mehem ela ach echad l'David. Shebarach etzal nachash melech b'nei Ammon. The king of Moav killed them all, and not a single one escaped except for one brother that ran away and found shelter with Nachash, the king of Ammon. V'shalach melech Moav acharav, v'lo ratzal litno, v'hu hachesed sh'asa Nachash im David. The king of Moab went after him, but the king of Ammon, Nachash the king of Ammon, protected this one brother and would not give him up. And that was the kindness that Nachash performed for David, and for that he was understandably grateful. Why did David wait until the death of Nachash to show his gratitude? Wouldn't it have made more sense to show his appreciation while Nachash was still alive? It turns out that our relationship with Ammon and Moav is a tricky one. Ammon and Moav descend from Lot, Avram's nephew, from Lot's relationship with his daughters. On the one hand, Moshe is told in Devarah Perek Tes, "Al tatsaras Moav ve'al tisgor ba milchama." Don't start up with Moab, don't contend with them in battle, for I will not give you his land to inherit, because I have given Ur, the area called Ur, to the children of Lot for a possession. The Medrash there explains, "He Yerusha lahem me'Avraham." This land that they live on is an inheritance for them from Avraham. Lefi shehalach Lot im Avraham, because Lot accompanied Avraham. V'lo gila al Sarah shehi ishto be'es sheyarad leMitzrayim. When Avram went down to Egypt and said that Sarah was his sister and not his wife in order to protect her, Lot, who knew the truth, didn't reveal the truth. L'fichach nasan lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu scharo. For this loyalty to Avraham, Lot is rewarded. Sher yershu banav shnei amamin me'osan shenasan l'Avram. That his children inherited the lands of two nations, land that was given to Avraham, was then inherited by him. On the other hand, even though Moab's inheritance is secure because of his loyalty to Avraham, we do not have a particularly warm or brotherly relationship with Moab as we might have expected. In Devarim Perak Chaf Gimel, we are told, Lo yavo amoni o Moavi b'kahal Hashem. An Ammonite or Moabite is not permitted to enter into the assembly of Hashem. In other words, we don't accept male converts from Ammon or Moab. The reason for the prohibition is given in the Psukim as follows. Al dvar asher lo kidmu eschem b'lechem u'b'mayim b'derech b'tzeischem b'mitzrayim. Due to the matter of the fact that they didn't greet you with bread and water on your journey when you left Mitzrayim, when you left Egypt, which is what you would expect a brother or relative to do. V'asher sochar aleches bilam ben ba'or mipsar ram na'arayim l'kal alecha. And not only did they not support you by bringing out bread and water, they also hired Bilam to curse you. As we mentioned in a previous perek, females are not included in this prohibition. The halacha is Ammoni velo Ammonis, Moavi velo Moavis, because it wasn't the responsibility of the women to go out and meet the wary travelers, and it wouldn't have been the woman who hired Bilam. Therefore, as Boaz taught, Rus was able to marry into the Jewish people and become the ancestor of David HaMelech. So Ammonites and Moabites are not able to convert and marry in. The Pesukim in Devarim further tell us regarding Ammon and Moab, Lo sidrosh shlomam v'tovasam kol yamecha la'olam. You should not seek out their peace or prosperity all of your days. What does it mean to seek out their peace? In Devarim Perek Chaf, we read that there's a general rule that when you approach a city in war, you first give them the option of surrendering in peace. V'karasa eleha l'shalom, you call out to them in peace. Yet Ammon and Moab are an exception to this rule. The Torah teaches regarding them, lo sidro shlomam, you should not call out to them in peace. But when should you not call out to them in peace? We just learned that there's a prohibition to start up with Moab and do battle with them in the first place. That was the halacha of Lo Tizkar Bam. So why does the Torah tell us not to offer them the opportunity to surrender when we are forbidden to be going to war with them in the first place? Ramban in Devarim answers that while we can't fight with them in their land, since that's their inheritance from Abraham, we are permitted to fight with them in a city that they've acquired from another nation. Alternatively, if they come attack us, we're allowed to chase after them and to conquer areas in order to quiet the attack. In these cases in which we would be permitted to engage in war with them, we should not call out to them in peace. Ramban also interprets this prohibition of seeking out their peace in a more general sense, not specifically related to the context of war. He says, you might think that since we have a brotherly connection to Ammon and Moab, we should treat them with a special amount of warmth and friendship. But since they compromise that brotherly relationship with their behavior, we're told, lo tidro shlomam, we should not seek out their peace or welfare. Getting back to our perek, we know that David sends messengers to console Hanan on the loss of his father Nachash, out of appreciation for Nachash having saved the life of David's brother. Malbim says the reason David didn't express gratitude to Nachash earlier was because of this prohibition to seek out their peace. Instead, David waited for an opportunity to repay the kindness in a way that wouldn't imply any interest in a peace treaty or friendship. He was simply going to pay a condolence call as a private person and not as the leader of a nation. Despite David's good intentions, the Perek tells us that the story does not end well. Hanan's officers convince him that David's messengers are spies. They reason, do you really think that David is honoring your father? The Jewish people are warned, do not seek peace with them. Do you really think he seeks peace? Clearly these messengers are coming with aggressive intentions. Hanan responds by humiliating David's men. He shaves off half their beards and cuts off half of their clothing. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah 21 blames David for this unfolding disaster. The Medrash says, Afal pisha kasafti ki sakravel ir li lachem aleha v'karasei la l'shalom le'elu lo sasu kein lo sidro shlomam v'tovasav. Hashem says, so to speak, even though I wrote in the Torah, when you approach a city to fight, call out to them in peace, to these, meaning to Ammon and Moab, don't do this. Don't reach out to them in peace. At motse b'mishaba imahem b'midas rachamem l'sof ba l'idei bizayon melchamos v'tzoror ve'eza ze David. We find that he who came towards them with mercy and kindness, at the end faced scorn and war and suffering. And who was that? David. Vayomer David, eseh chesed in Hanan ben Nachash. David said, I will do kindness with Hanan, the son of Nachash. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ata over al dvarai. Ani kasavti lo sidro shlomam v'tovasam, v'ata osei mehem gemilas chesed. Hashem said, you are violating my words. I said you should not reach out with them in peace and to seek their welfare, and you were reaching out to them in kindness. Al tihit tzadik harbe, don't be overly righteous. Shelo yehi adam mevater al haTorah, don't compromise what's written in the Torah. David certainly had good intentions, but apparently his reasoning was flawed. We learn that there may be times when our own moral intuition tells us one thing and the Torah tells us another. In those times, like David HaMelech, and how much more so us, we are called upon to suspend our own judgment and follow the Torah's directives. Continuing in the Perek, once the Ammonites severely offended David in this way, they anticipated that retaliation was forthcoming, and they hire a mercenary army from Aram to help them. Yoav, David's commander, facing an attack by Ammon on one side and Aram on the other side, divides his army into two. One half of the army is led by Yoav against Aram, and the other is led by his brother Avishai against Ammon, with the plan that if either one of them is overpowered, the other would come to his rescue. Yoav and Avishai, by the way, are both nephews of David HaMelech. They're both sons of his sister Tsruya. The Arameans flee first, and then the Ammonites retreat into their city. The Arameans come back with reinforcements, but then David comes out again against them and achieves a decisive victory. The Arameans make peace with David and are no longer interested or willing to come to the aid of Ammon. We end this parak with Yoav's words to Avishai in the face of a battle on two fronts. Chazak v'nischazka ba'arameinu ba'ar arei Elokeinu v'Hashem hatov be'inav yaseh. Strengthen the nation and let us strengthen ourselves for our people and for the cities of Hashem. And Hashem shall do that which is good in his eyes. Metudas David explains, v'im b'kol ha'hischazkus lo no'il. If, despite all of our efforts to strengthen, we do not succeed, let Hashem do what is good in His eyes, and we will accept it with love. This shiur is dedicated L'Zecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudis Bas Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivas Tzion left an indelible mark on her many students.